I was scared. I was scared. I was scared too. You're listening to. I was scared to Michael Myers, Freddy Krueger, Chucky, the Leprechaun. Take it away, Mr. Movies. Give him hell, kid cinema.
Hey, if you're listening to this and it's your birthday, we did that for you. And if, because it's not my birthday, and who am I? I'm Mr. Movies.
It's also not my birthday, and I'm Kid Cinema.
And to my the best of my knowledge, it's not our. We're joined by a guest. I don't think it's Nick's.
Yeah.
It's, Nick, is it your birthday?
Nick, is it it's your
not
birthday?
My, it's not my birthday today.
Oh, what okay. Is this? The team things over here? It's not my birthday. It's not my birthday. What are we, the Ting Tings? Now, I've always said we do have Mad Hatter and March Hare energy. This is a Mad Tea Party, this podcast. And, so very merry unbirthday to you.
Exactly,
Nick,
yes.
Nick, when's your birthday? We got to know.
Same day as Shakespeare's birth and death day, April 23rd.
Oh, wow. Coming up. It's coming up. So, listeners, I hope you're thinking about going to an Amazon wish list.
All right.
And so, what does that make you? What are you? You're not a is that a Taurus?
That's a Taurus.
No, that is a Taurus.
Right? I'm a Ford. Yeah.
That's me. And JZC famously Scorpio. And
that's
I, of
right.
Course,
Scorpio Kingdom.
Light up the room when I come in, and so I'm a Leo. All right. It's been a while for that.
That's true, yes.
Now, have we put any thoughts into what Nick's symbiote would be? Because I feel like it's been a while. He hasn't been on the pod. I don't think Carnage, there hadn't been Carnage.
This is a good question. Now, why don't you explain let me check. Okay, I have the symbiote list right here.
Okay.
And so, you know, we, fucking notes. It's, there we go.
All right. Yours is showbiz, right?
So what is a symbiote? Everyone saw Let There Be Carnage, a symbiote suit. It bonds with you. But what color is it? The color represents your personality and the name as well. My name is Showbiz, and it's a purple symbiote suit. Fesh is Chillage, and he's
it's like
got a blue
right?
symbiote suit.
Oh, it's pink.
I think pink, yeah. Friend of the show, Sean O'Brien, his symbiote's name is Seltzer, and it's clear.
All right.
Other friend of the show, Ken Beck, he's green screen. And what color is he? He's green screen green. Zenny,
if there was ever a call for fan art, this is it. I'm just saying.
That's it.
Assembled,
that is it.
You know, symbiotes assemble, all of them. Then we got Pumper Puff. That's Fesh's lovely wife, Zenny, and she's a green pink pastel.
Ooh.
Here we go. He's not technically a friend of the show, Paul McCartney.
One day.
His symbiote suit is named Wings, and it's black and white, and it's vegan.
Nice. Good.
And last for now, well, up penultimate, we got Cabernet, that's Dan Chamberlain, and it's a dark red translucent texture.
Ooh.
So, Nick.
Ooh.
Hell of some symbiotes, if I do say so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are we thinking? Let's get started.
By the way, this is I'm Scared to a Horror Movie Podcast. We're talking about Megan today, but anyway, just gotta get that out there. But Nick, who's your symbiote?
My symbiote is gonna be like a goldenrod.
Goldenrod?
Goldenrod. That like yellowish golden color, I assume.
Beautiful. Yeah, just wanna make sure.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we got the color, and then let's get a name. I'll pitch one.
Okay.
You know, and Nick, I think of you as a pretty elegant man. How do you feel about elegance?
I'll be elegant.
Wow.
Yeah.
Elegance? Oh, okay, great. God. All right. Elegance.
Like,
oh, wait.
No joke.
Elegance?
Like, no joke. This is better than all of the symbiotes in the comic books. And I think it's a better process to come up with them, too.
Now, just an idea. Yeah. How do we feel about elegance with a Z? Instead of a C-E at the end, it'll be...
Well, yeah. Elegans.
E-L-E-G-A-N-Z.
You don't see this Z replacing C all that often.
No,
usually
I've heard
it's
of
a
S,
substitute
not...
for an S, but yeah.
Elegans.
It's like, well, instead of a C, it's a dollar sign.
Whoa.
Ooh, yeah.
Or what if instead of an E, it was a 3. You guys,
we got
to
do that again.
We're doing it.
The second E will be a 3 to celebrate.
Oh, I was just using it as a transition, but if you want to lock that in for next symbiote,
E-L-3-G-A-N-Z.
Did I say this was a horror movie podcast? I think I meant this is a horror movie party. Listen to this energy. This is good. Let's go.
That's
I'd like
right.
to
Can we officially change the branding? Can we be a horror movie party?
Yeah, baby.
Well, yeah.
That's a good idea.
I'd like to report that I went to the movies. I saw Megan, and I had a good time.
Yeah!
I had a great time at the film. Movies.
I can also say I went to the cinema and I had a great time. Everyone in Burbank was partying when Megan was on screen.
That's good. I had a pretty sedate crowd. And the teen boys that we were sitting behind while I was waiting for my wife to get out of the bathroom, they weren't into Megan, guys. These kids, they were like, we should have just seen Avatar again. I was like, right. Should have just
reminds
seen
me of, no. Reminds me of one boy I know in Megan that wasn't really into Megan either.
And that was Zenny's theory. Is like, I think they were just mad that the one representation they had was an asshole who gets murdered.
Yeah.
The character coded as this guy sucks from the beginning.
Just well, from go.
And they're like, wait, what? No. The only guy like us? Well, you know, I think too, I think that's, it's probably just hitting those boys at the wrong age where they,
well,
they're not
the
ready for.
I was talking about. On our yet to be released episode at time of record, I was talking about the notion of it just being scratched as a new term for just, I don't know, entertained is too, there's too many stakes involved with entertained. I put on this YouTube thing because it scratches an itch. I put on this old CBS show because it scratches an itch. It's not about what's good or bad, you know. I think these kids are at an age where it's so fatalistic. It's like, well, why would you want to see a C+ movie? Everything should be A+. Because what's the point if it's not the best? Like, they don't have that nuance of enjoying. It's like, what I liked about this is that it was blank as opposed to all bombast, number one, you know.
Oh, yeah.
That was the vibes I picked up on.
No, I get
teenagers,
that.
Too. It's like that. You know, that time when it's like, I've got all these new opinions. It's like new to like having opinions, sharing opinions, formulating your identity around your opinion, you know? And so it's very, something very precious about it, you know?
And I think we're probably all in different internet circles than these teen boys. They don't have the notion of the memeifying of it. That
there's nothing that scares me more than a 14-year-old boy's TikTok algorithm.
Oh boy!
No,
certain type.
God no. Yes.
I assume the best case, the one I'm most comfortable with, is just very horny, and that's I can deal with. You know, like probably a lot of anime waifus.
Mm. You're very comfortable with that.
I'm very comfortable with anime waifus, for the record. Yeah, guy, listeners, if you're having an anime waifu infestation at your office and you need someone to deal with it, call me up. I'll take care of it.
Maybe another. I have another screenplay idea. Waifu Buster.
Thank God you're here. Hello, my name is JGT. I'm here to deal with your anime waifu problem. Here's what I'm going to need. Whole lot of Red Bull. Whole lot of condoms.
Okay.
Whole lot of bug nets.
I'm sorry. Like a butterfly net?
Butterfly net. That's what I was thinking of.
Okay.
You got it.
What's that for? Just some kinky hijinks. I will not injure the anime waifus. I am a humane person. This will be dealt with humanely.
Bibbidi-dee-dee-dee. Woo! So we all saw it in. It's not doing the double streaming thing, right? This is only in theaters, Megan.
Correct, I believe. Yeah. And it did gangbusters. It opened to $30 million $13 million budget.
That's horror for you, and that's January for you too. Well, if, you know.
And then you know, we were talking about having fun at the movies. I read this whole AV Club article about how it's nice to have a fun movie, and you know, and.
Yeah. Wow, who would have fucking thought?
It's a theory I kind of get behind where they're like, Avatar, even though, you know, that's a fun movie, but even still, so much of the push in the marketing was, this is important. We have to save cinema. If you don't go, you're letting cinema die. Yes. And Babylon 2, they were saying, was all like, this is a serious movie. This is important. If you don't see this, serious movies die. And Megan's just like, you want to see this robot dance?
Hey, look at this.
Yeah, we do.
Hey.
Yep. It was a good time, but what, you guys were, was it a packed? Was it what was the situation of the theater for you guys?
I did a little Saturday matinee. Theater was about 3/4 full here in my new location of Lincoln, and it was not the rowdiest crowd except for me and my two friends that were we were living for Megan.
Absolutely.
I went on a Thursday night, day before opening or whatever, I went to the AMC Burbank, a wonderful movie theater, which I just learned is the most profitable movie theater in America. AMC, number one chain in America. AMC Burbank, the most profitable, or takes in the most money, you know, and like millions of dollars, and that made me proud.
Oh, so it might not be profitable. Most profitable, it just does just per dollar.
Rakes it in.
That's the question. Yeah. I'm sure.
Gotcha.
There's for all I know, you know.
How many screens that fucker got?
16. Yeah. 16. Wow. Two IMAX theaters, I think.
Okay.
Two big ass theaters. So you know.
Well, the Times Square 25 theaters, 4 floors. There's a lot of maintenance involved with that. I'm sure it brings in a lot. But yeah, if it doesn't bring in a lot as much as Burbank and requires more staffing and electricity bills, I'm sure that's certainly not going to be more profitable.
And this theater, it's one level, you know? Mm-hmm, so you walk around to go to all the different movie theaters. So
it's circular.
Circular. Square, but yes. Yeah.
Sure. Okay, cool.
You go up and down, and so where do they, when the AEW pay-per-views screen, where do they put them? Dead in the back, you know?
Well,
theater 9.
Oh, yeah.
The farthest, the most hidden, the asshole of the theater. Yeah.
Right.
Where they just let the weirdos argue and fight and drink, and they check in once every hour.
How's Wheels doing, by the way?
Wheels.
You still got a girlfriend?
I'll find out in March, I'm hoping. I'll find out on March 6th when I go see AEW Revolution at the AMC Burbank.
My mom's birthday.
Hey.
Happy birthday.
Listeners, if you want to go to an Amazon wish list, my mom's birthday's coming up.
So I did have a bit of a story from my screening of Megan. Which So we get there. I'd say it's about 75% sold out. You know, pretty good for a little bit of an early 6:30. You know, decently early night. In the there's a row. Of, you know, a boy comes, a boy who, you know, is not all there maybe, or, you know, and he starts clapping intensely during all the trailers. Okay. And at one point he stands up and it gets a little awkward. Where he goes, "Are you guys excited for the movie?" And everyone's like, yeah. And everyone is like,
"Yeah, we are."
Everyone being nice. Yeah. No one's making fun of him or being cruel to this boy.
That's good.
There is an element of concern of, is he going to talk the whole time? You know, we're not sure. We're feeling each other out. Then, this is the best part, he does a bit for us. We get to the part where it's like the AMC little pre-show, not Maria Menounos yet, but the like, welcome, AMC. Your exits are on the left.
Right?
Yes, post Menounos.
Yeah.
And he stands up and starts reciting this for us. And then it comes to the musical part. He starts dancing for us.
Yeah.
And it rules. A lot of people are like, I'm not sure if I'm allowed to laugh at this or what's. And it's like, he's having fun. He's playing along. And then the best part, he goes, at the end, he goes, now stop talking, everyone, and enjoy the movie. Turn your phones off.
Oh,
hell yeah.
He knows the rules. He knows the program.
The true kid. Exactly. This is a good kid.
Good kid. He was a doll during the movie. He was very excited for Megan. And who wouldn't be? Also, cool. Just to report, many people showing up with Nicole Kidman meme t-shirts.
Oh, okay.
You know, the we come to this place.
Now, do you think they're going to... I think they should not change one word of the script, but they should still update it every so often.
I think that's a great idea.
Just, it's still the same script. Still Nicole Kidman for the most, like maybe in 15 years we start passing the torch or whatever.
Yeah.
But I think that would just make people flip and flock if they said, guys, new Nicole Kidman intro thing. Again, it's only been, what, 2 years? Use it, milk it, but
it,
maybe
it
three.
It would break the internet if there was a new tone poem, you know?
Well, I'm saying it doesn't even, again, you can keep the script the same way. But
right.
Honestly, there are no rules. Change it however you want. No. But just it's gonna be I don't know. I think that'll sell tickets alone. People like the Phantom Menace trailer. They will go see Meet Joe Black.
Yes, they'll do that.
Yes, even if, she's in a new gown. Everyone's right. Like, what? So
that's literally it. Yeah,
same monologue.
I'm sure we've talked about this, but my favorite thing about it, and this is all commercials ultimately, but when she's just like, the reason we come to AMC theaters is, and it's like, well, nothing about that is exclusive to AMC theaters. That any movie theater does what you're saying. There's nothing about. I don't know.
Now, Nick, what are the AMCs like in your neck of the woods? Do you have AMCs?
Hey, bud, I have never been to an AMC in the past, decade and a half, probably. I know this Nicole Kidman thing through cultural osmosis and memes. I would die to see it one day. I'd die to see version two. It'd be great.
What's your Cinemark, Regal? What were the chains?
Yeah,
local chains?
You just go into a...
I came from a town of grand theaters, which was like Amstar, I believe, and now I'm in like a Marcus zone. Mm. So it looks like local chains. Seems like local chains.
Hey, cool.
But they had free Babylon posters on my way out of the foyer. They had a bunch of a stack of Babylons, and I was like, oh. So I grabbed
a stack of Babylon.
I haven't seen a stack of Babylon yet, but I have the poster.
Hey, I'm in the Babylon hive.
Now, elephant in the room. Nick, yes. This is a horror movie. You're not a scary movie fan.
I don't like scary movies.
But you saw Megan.
I didn't only see Megan. It's my first movie that I went to opening weekend since my previous love, which was also it was also not it's not a horror movie. M. Night Shyamalan's Old, one of my favorite
Hell
movies
yeah.
in the history of ever.
I think holds a old
sure,
a horror
okay.
movie.
It's a horror movie about the thing that is gonna happen to all of us. But I went to an opening night, opening weekend, Saturday matinee of Megan, and I log in on Letterboxd, and what do I see? I see a little JZT review. I like that. And then the little guy just slides into my DMs and is like, hey.
Oh,
it's Megan. Let's talk Megan. So I got to talk Megan.
For a second there, were you concerned that Megan had taken over JZT's cell phone and was inviting you to a trap?
Oh, God. I mean, yes. Famously, friend of the pod, Kira, has Megan in her Twitter DMs currently. They're going back and forth on that.
Yo.
Yeah. A great little marketing tweeter out there.
Wow. Oh, that's right. There's a whole viral marketing campaign for Megan.
There sure is.
That is.
And it's certainly working, it seems, you know?
Yes.
Just to jump back real quick about my theater experience was whatever. I already covered that. But one thing I was surprised about was it's not full on Star Wars or Avatar yet, but the amount of showings was wild to me, at least down here. It was 1:15, 2:15. 2:30, 3:50. That's usually reserved for a Marvel, a big popcorn seller. It seems like the energy has reached the schedules down in Florida. The Megan fever, Megan-gitis.
Fever. I have it.
So it paid off. The big weekend, as we previously discussed.
What was it? It
party.
Was the most attended original film since Get Out.
January horror movie. How about
it? Hey, I'll see it
with Alison Williams in it.
With yes. Alison Williams, thank God. Thank God.
Oh boy,
my. She's the secret.
I think this is the new formula. Algorithms, take notice. Every January, get Alison Williams in an original horror movie and you'll make a bunch of money.
Did Get Out come in, out in January?
Yep.
Wow.
Huh.
I remember seeing it in like February. So
cool.
Chronologically, it fits.
Yeah.
This tracks.
Yeah.
How are you? Oh boy.
More movies need leet speak in the titles. I will say it. They have a 3 for the first E, the only E, as far as I'm concerned, and grammar is. And it worked on me. It didn't make immediate sense when I saw it. I watched the movie, and you find out she's a generational 3 android or something of the sort. Sure.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and look up what Megan means real quick, because they do say it multiple times, but it's specific
Model
language that
3
just goes over my head.
Yeah. Model 3 generative android.
Oh.
Model 3. Okay.
That's Megan.
That's robotics.
That's Megan.
For ya.
Of course, Megan played by the great Amy Donald.
Yeah, Amy! Yeah.
Way to go, Amy.
Woo!
TikTok okay. Zone? Right?
Ooh, is she a TikToker?
I feel like I heard that she came from a TikTok dance to do the TikTok dances in Megan. As
oh,
Megan.
I'm seeing she looks like a little child. She's an actress as well as a stunt performer.
Oh. Go Amy.
Okay.
Go right. Amy.
She was in the Netflix Sweet Tooth adaptation. What else do you need to know?
Oh, she did stunts in The Tank. What's that? Something.
Yeah. It's out there. It's content.
Oh, okay, let's see. Oh, at age 9, Amy was selected as part of Team New Zealand at the Dance World Cup in Braga, Portugal.
Oh, damn. Wow.
She was okay, the first ever World performer Cup. From New Zealand to win a medal after receiving a silver medal for jazz and a bronze for contemporary dance. All right! Amy! Okay.
What a wacky business of show, you know? Yes. Now you're a killer doll. You're really good at dancing, now you're a killer doll.
I love it. Yeah. It's what a weird thing to be like, you go to it, you're like, hey, I'm in this movie. And someone's like, no, you're not. It's like, no, that's me.
Yeah, that's me.
And someone's like... some dickhead teenager's probably like, it's just a computer. You're just lying. You know?
Or your dad would be like that, JCT. Yeah. No, it's just computers.
What
are you talking about? Just computers.
My dad is learning about the world of computers and CGI.
Aww. Aww.
Apparently it's expensive, he's learning.
Wow.
So it starts in wintertime. Or at least a very cold part of the country. I assume it's winter, but we got a Bickerin family.
They're
driving
on a ski trip. Yes. That's
ski
right.
Ski trip, yeah.
Somewhere in Oregon, we believe?
I'm sorry, no. It starts with a very good fake commercial.
Commercial? Yes.
Things that drive me crazy in movies is when something's purported to be a commercial, and you're like, that would never make it to air. You're being lazy. This is not what a commercial looks like. That looks like it would be on television.
And just enough a hint of jokes.
Yes.
But not where it destroys the reality.
Right.
But also,
I'm talking purely look. Yes. It's just, yeah.
This is true. And again,
it freaks me out a little bit because of the accuracy.
Yeah, yeah.
And obviously,
you're
the funky technology.
You're saying Uncanny Valley? You're saying
I would say so.
Interesting.
I just saw a bunch of trailers, and now I'm seeing a commercial from 2006.
And it's for, what are they, the Furby knockoff things. Funky. Funky's the company.
Funky's the company.
Funky's the company. It's some kind of pet. No, not the pet. It's the...
Perpetual Pets. And folks, I gotta ask, do we have any Furby owners in the Zoom chat? Do they guys have a Furby or something akin to a Furby?
I did not. I remember kids having...
No.
They came at an age where I think for me and my homies,
mm-hmm.
It's like if we found one, it's like, well, let's beat it up.
Right.
You know, I remember I don't think it was mine. It was some other kids. And we're like, let's throw it at the wall a bunch. That's how we decided to have with it, which is cruel.
It is.
I like to,
a little bit cruel.
I like to say, I'm sorry to that Furby, wherever you are.
Furby stuck around way longer. I know they're still out there. But, like, probably. I remember being in, like, a toy store in 2012 and being like, holy crap, it's still here. I got one for Christmas of 97, 98, whatever the year was for it. And okay. It was very fun, but as adults will be quick to remind you about these crazes, I was done with the Furby after like 2 months.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it had a long battery life, and so there would be times years later where a certain phrase was just said in conversation, and from my closet you would just hear the Furby respond, and it was terrifying.
Not fun.
No. But my favorite thing to do with it was the feeding thing, which is very creepy to think about now. But they had these mouths, motorized mouths, but also to feed it, you would put your finger in its mouth and press its tongue down. And it would just for like X amount of time, it'd be like, ooh. But yeah, I don't know. Furbies were fun. And then my nieces gifted me and my wife a Rizmo. I want to say 2 years ago, which was so they got like the 2020, 2019 update. And its whole gimmick was, it's like a Furby that evolves. And not in the way that Megan learns. But like there are three.
Oh, thank God. All right.
It starts off as like a furry ball. And then you like pet it, you talk to it, and like little lights glow on it. You do that enough and it springs and it gets like ears and eyes. And then you continue to do more things, and then boing, it turns into like a sort of marsupial looking round.
I'm seeing this, yeah.
Yeah.
This is very Digimon-esque to me.
Yeah. And I will say, it's silly, but it was satisfying when we were like, oh my God, we finally got to the final evolution. And it took a while. It was cool. But so that's the pool, the milieu that this this world is playing in is the post-Tickle Me Elmo heightening of the Christmas toy.
We're also getting into a world where the toy has a iPad component.
Yes. There was a big emphasis on the app to feed your pet. And it was getting in the way of this girl's screen time.
Well, it's actually kind of the inciting incident to a degree because the parents are bickering about this toy. So Katie, our main girl, is in the back. And it is. It's a nice subtle, not, I don't want to say subtle, but like, it's a nice comment that is just the girl is soullessly swiping on an iPad while her toy is sitting next to her reacting. But she's still staring down at the iPad. And the parents are like arguing about this. They should have put chains on the car before they left. And then whammo, a classic whammo. out of nowhere. The biggest snow plow you've ever didn't really see because it's just headlights. Takes out the car.
It's tragic.
And it's tragic. Yeah. We see a dispute. What do we think of this couple, these parents? Do we think they're good parents?
My thing is that she
I think really three-dimensional characters whose arcs matter.
I thought about them a lot. She chastises him for not having snow tires in the car. And his response is, you didn't know that was a thing until 15 minutes ago.
They strike me as a real hipster couple, you know, all of a sudden our parents, you know.
Yeah.
How old
do you think Katie is?
10 or 8, 9? Preteen. Yeah. There's no preteen hormones to her. Yeah. I mean, there's, I don't know how the body works. There's hormones in them.
I think she has zero hormones.
Okay, all right. Yeah. So Katie has zero hormones, which is a problem to deal with in the future, but for now.
So I only ask because that does feel like I read that immaturity as well. Again, I think that's just more about writing being thin than it is about character. But it feels like that's a long time to... It feels weird to have a 10-year-old kid and not know that snow tires are a thing.
Yeah.
You're going on a ski trip.
Wow.
To the mountains.
Yeah.
The actress who plays Katie was born in 2011.
I don't like that. Whoa. Whoa.
This is the first
time. So you're telling me she didn't see warm bodies in the theater?
No. Violet McGraw, step it up.
She's in English class. She hears about two star-crossed teens. She doesn't even know to reference Warm Bodies. She's there talking about Haley Steinfeld, Romeo and Juliet.
As far as she's concerned, Hansel and Gretel have always been witch hunters.
Always.
Hey, that's I read on Wikipedia. Knows. Apparently, Hansel and Gretel, it's like an old thing. They weren't always witch hunters. Wow. Did you know that, Dad? That's what the... That's the missing one. That's a deleted scene. She reads that fact on her iPad. Dad drives straight into a truck. Like, what kind of child have I raised?
Okay, we're all childless people here, but do you think parents every day are going like, my kid was born in 2019? I feel old.
Hey, babe, want to feel old? Our kid was born 5 years ago.
You think our parents are like, my kid graduated? That's great. I'm old. I don't know. Anyway. So that's she's goes off to live with Allison Williams, who is the head of head of development at Funky.
She rolls up
her sleeve. She does the work. She's not just making decisions.
Yeah. She's not
Wikipedia calls her a roboticist.
That's right.
Roboticist,
yeah.
Well, goddamn, Allison Williams is a roboticist. There you have it.
And she has been secretly working on a project. She's supposed to be working on a cheaper version of the toy that's very popular.
Perpetual Pets, yeah.
Yes, the Perpetual Pets
for the $50 market.
Yeah, that's right. They got a competitor that does the same thing they do, but cheaper. And Ronnie Chang is her boss. Who I've always thought is a very funny guy.
Great. I loved one of those. Always happy to see him pop up in something.
Yeah, and he gets some real screen time in this. And,
he was solid.
Yes. It's a role I feel like you wouldn't typically put him in. I don't know. I feel like the role maybe, I'm sure casting directors in their one-mindedness are like, oh, he's a comedy guy.
Sure.
This is a horror movie.
But it's a comedic role.
Yes, yeah. You know. And all but just say he crushes it. Love more Ronnie in movies, you know.
Now his assistant, the guy, the tall guy.
Yes,
he was tall.
Dave.
He sure was.
Dave.
Yeah.
What's his name? Dave.
I'll look it up. Mild creepy vibe to him.
Yeah. But didn't you feel like more would happen with that character? Like he leaks.
He does.
And then nothing else comes of that, and then he gets killed.
Yeah.
Do you think there's something on the cutting room with Dave? I guess that's...
There has to be, because he steals the info about... Or you just thought that would pay off more. Or like somehow, I thought almost, that'll be the secret to undoing Megan. Like, Megan has deleted all the files, but he has them on this hard drive so he can help, but he doesn't. The only development to that is Megan eventually, spoiler alert, kills him.
Yeah,
and then because like, of I know you that, stole.
To blame him for what I will call now, I don't know why Megan killed Ronnie. It's my one logic
at a certain point. I guess at some point, she's learning her environment around as she's. I don't know,
but then she can blame this murder on this Zach Woods type. Yeah,
yeah. But this is all a good reason to get the Blu-ray when it comes out. Gotta see those deleted scenes, see if there's anything explained.
Let's see it.
Should we do a follow-up episode that's just the deleted scenes of Megan when it comes
out? Yeah, you know, I'll see it behind you.
Yeah.
So yeah, she's been just, I guess, funneling funds from Funky to do this wildly expensive prototype off the books.
I guess
they moved down to the basement.
Yeah, they're hiding. I wasn't sure, like, how much wiggle room does she have? Is she, like, a genius who's like, you just do you? But that eventually, no, because they're mad at her.
Then, yeah, he comes down and yells at her for doing it. But then it's like, well, it looks kind of good and it could be cashed in on. But it also doesn't look, the first scene doesn't look good.
Doesn't work out. They get in a lot of trouble, which eventually leads to them working on Megan in private, you know. Mm-hmm. And but before that, Megan and Allison Williams and Katie,
whose character's name is
Marnie.
What is that?
Anybody know?
Marnie.
Oh no, Gemma.
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 That's right. Jim. That's because the way Ronnie Chang says Gemma is kind of funny. I remembered.
Gemma.
It really inflectuates it, you know? Which I think reads that he's mad at her.
He's not
She's
okay
a
with
bad
her.
Employee.
No.
Which again, can't say I blame him. This we're supposed to be working on these professional pets, and you were building the Terminator. So Katie comes to live with, and you can guard out making an argument that Gemma's a little bit type A, maybe wasn't prepared to be a parent, and he's got a, not the coldest environment, but not the warmest either. But her toys are not toys. What are they, boys?
Collectibles. And I just got to say, perfect casting with Allison Williams, because
oh my god,
she is just the person who is just like, oh yeah, inherently cold. There's something about her that is a little robotic, a little just like no compassion, no sympathy. But she'll try. She'll try.
Yeah.
But it's just not her nature, you know.
I get media training as a person. But it's the no, that's not a toy. I mean, yeah, it's a toy, but you don't remove it from the box. That's ingrained in my skull.
She's someone who is like constantly aware, like, oh no, they can tell I think they're stupid. Correct, fix it, double down. And then it's like, oh, you just made it worse, you know.
So a psychiatrist comes to a child psychiatrist comes to like, I'm just here for 2 minutes to watch you interact and decide if you're fit to do this.
I loved it because they were clearly in different rooms doing separate tasks when the doors knocked upon, and it's like, oh, so we're going to continue what we were doing, but I'm also introducing to Katie. Hey, let's hang out. We haven't done that yet, but let's do it.
Well, it's only like day two, right? She came, she slept, and then the next day, so she's still getting acclimated. Right. It's a little unfair, but so she makes the ultimate sacrifice by opening one of the collectibles to let her play with it.
Because she's a show mom.
But the psychiatrist is like, the one condition is you can't explain how the toy works for some reason. That's a bad trait for you to explain to the little kid how the toy works.
I don't care that you work at a toy company. I'm not taking that into account at all. Let her roll it.
Yeah, it seems like part of it was like, don't you want to see the interaction between them and the way the parent teaches or leads? You know, this seems like a good opportunity for that, but...
I'm just gonna say it. She's the villain of the piece. She's the bad guy.
Oh yeah.
I think that the good guy is the bad guy, and that the bad guy is the good guy in this movie. The actual villain is the man from the Grinch. Grinch is not the actual villain.
Oh no.
I love an actual villain argument for any. There's a good one for the movie Hustle with Adam Sandler, where Heidi Gardner is the villain all along. She could have fixed the whole movie anytime she wanted to, but she chose not to. She could have just made him an assistant coach, but she decided not to get involved. And then at the end, she swooped back. She could have fired the evil GM, but she didn't. So, Heidi Gardner, you're the actual villain of Hustle.
Wow, that's an interesting angle. I was looking at the picture straight on. These people are looking a little differently, and that makes me appreciate the movie more.
You got it? Yes.
Sometimes you just got
to. Folks, always turn your head to the left. Turn your head to the right.
Listen,
go back to the left.
You still might like down the center, but you at least have to try looking at it from a different angle.
You got to try. So
Megan did nothing wrong.
She achieved her function to protect Katie.
She protected Katie.
She really did.
Yeah.
In terms of bodily harm. I mean, being bullied once. So what's next? She brings home Megan, probably?
She brings home Megan. She's working on it in secret.
Wait, she goes downstairs and they meet Bruce.
Exactly.
I love
Bruce.
You can't
forget about Bruce. I love Bruce in that movie Finn. I think that Bruce is a good actor. He was great in the movie Finn. And that's like a classic Gauntlet real steel style robot, right? You slide the glove on and you control the robot that way.
And he's big. And Katie thinks Bruce is cool. Big.
Yeah, it's the first time they connect as characters.
Yes. Those and two. It's pretty beautiful. It's sweet, nice. You know? Finally, it's like, oh yeah, she's able to, hey, I'm going to show you, I'm going to explain something. Katie's like, this is cool. And she teaches her, like, there, up, she opens the face of Bruce. It's like, that's the brain, basically, you know, the operator.
It's almost like if she would have explained the rolling ball toy that the therapist would have been able to see.
This has been covered, Nick.
Yeah, okay, you're right, you're right.
Leave it alone.
Now, another factor that's important is the kind of, there's this lingering threat of, well, if it doesn't go well, that we might send Katie to live with the husband's parents in Florida. And we're just told, they're weird and religious?
Played huge in a Florida movie theater is when she says they're from Florida and they're weird. No, just not no reaction whatsoever. It's like everybody just being like, but yeah, it's not much of a. It's like that might be what's best for everybody. Is if
they don't go into it because I'm sure they want to play well in Florida,
right?
But it's just like because you know and. Yeah. They're a little, well, we don't have to say it, but, and maybe we don't know, you know. But.
Yeah.
No, we don't know.
It's a so great then, thing, though, of like, Allison Williams is like, I have to keep Katie. Do I want her? Well, not really.
But I have to,
you know.
Well, it's a little, it's not quite Clifford-y in the sense that, like, she's
not a big red dog.
Well, I met the Martin Short Clifford.
I see. I'm sorry.
Where he obviously hates Clifford, but needs to keep him around to prove to his girlfriend that he'd be a good father so he can get what he wants. It's not quite that. I think it could have used maybe a more explicit, like, oh, maybe if I can prove that Megan is good with kids, they'll green light Megan. But it's like, no, they kind of already did.
Yeah,
and you're just that happens, but it's not as active. It's like it's one spot. It's like, all right, I'll use her for the meeting, or not the meeting, the presentation, and then once that's done, we should be off and running. I think maybe it could be more of a like active. What's the term? Just like prolonged. It could just instead of being one event, it's like we need to monitor how the long term's effect of this is. It would make more sense to me that way. That's a nitpick though.
Yeah, sure. She builds Megan so fast.
She's so quickly does she build Megan. You know, Bruce, the work Bruce succeeds and Katie likes Bruce. She's like, hey, okay, maybe. She gets this like, hey, you know. And then Katie and Megan, they do a setup and they bond. And Ronnie Chang watches this and goes, this is amazing. This is going to be huge. And it's like, you need to get them to spend a lot of time together because we need this. We're going to do a meeting for executives and they're going to love this. So, but again, Megan learns from Katie as they go along. And so they start spending a lot of time together and I think we just got to jump to it. How did everyone feel when Megan sings for the first time?
I was
delighted. I gotta say,
our theater went. It was one of those things where it's like everyone collectively was just. It was this shock of, oh, we didn't expect this. No one prepped us for this. No one saw it coming, and this is so weird and so delightful. It's so fucked up. Just this weird pitch, auto-tuned doll voice singing.
It's the context.
Tricky...
No, go please.
No.
It's her defending the fact that she killed Brandon. Because Katie asks her point blank, like, did you kill Brandon? She's like, nothing to lose. Fire away. Just like, kind of like, just like, I'm going to protect you because I am bulletproof. It was.
but she sang in the presentation earlier, though, didn't she?
Oh, wait, she did. Holy crap, yeah. I'm sorry.
And it's more like a classic like musically kind of just show tuney sort of.
That's
doll
the one I couldn't
song.
Place. I couldn't remember it right now.
Yeah.
I know she plays Toy either. Soldiers later. She sings yes. Titanium.
Yes. And then I forget. It might be an original just little jingle or something.
Like, show me your dream. Well, you know, Nick was so wonderful as to text us a song from the Megan album on Apple Music, which yes. I have been listening to nonstop.
Oh, wow.
It's a good rendition.
I'm like, it makes me laugh. It makes me smile every time. But they have a presentation and Katie is having a rough day. Like, I forget what exactly happened. I think just her and Gemma getting a fight beforehand or she's more something. She's like, is it something like it would have been her mom's birthday or something? Or
that sounds right.
It's more just she's understandably missing her mom and dad.
Yeah.
This whole thing is a sad perfect storm where it's like, listen, we shouldn't have robot kids replace parents, but this kid also needs a fucking parent. So yeah. I don't know what to do here. Like,
and Allison Williams trying, but she's not new. To, you know, she's not, has no experience in this, and it's a difficult experience anyway. So then, yeah, they do this presentation, and Katie just breaks down crying. She's just not having it. All these executives are watching, like, oh no, what is this?
And this isn't going well.
Steps in.
And she, honestly, couldn't have planned it better. This no. is you can't plan for this kind of success.
Megan says, "Tell me something about your parents, about your mom, a memory you have." Megan, Katie shares a memory. She goes, "I'm going to keep that right here." And then anytime you want to, if you're afraid you're going to forget something about your parents, that's it. Katie's like, "I'm afraid I'll forget them." You know.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I'm so young. I'm so little. I'm 8, 9, maybe 10. Who knows?
I was genuinely touched, I'm sorry, about the journaling aspect of Megan, the audio message of the story. It hit my heart in a way I didn't expect this movie to. And I was like, oh, that's useful. And then later I'm like, oh, wait, we can do that now. But also, it's nice that Megan did it.
But yeah, I do like the all AI and, you know, robot kind of stories like this are about, like, where is the line of what should be replaced by robotics. And yeah, when it comes to emotional stuff, I think maybe the lines before that, but at least we know emotional stuff probably shouldn't involve robots. It's just a tricky situation. But yeah, I like the general the general notion of that and the argument of they shouldn't, it's a nice to have a companion, but it shouldn't be the robot shouldn't be the parent. Or this cell phones that these kids are having shouldn't be the parent, maybe these video games that these YouTubers shouldn't
these
be
razor
the parent.
Scooters.
These Pokemon cards, these slap bracelets, these jacks and ball, this stick and hoop. Need I say more? I rest my case.
Case closed. Fesh wins. Case yay!
Whoa!
Folks, don't forget, I'm judge, jury, and executioner.
A wink! But, the aspects that I really liked were when it's like the kid's going crazy when she can't play with the dang robot.
Mm-hmm.
She, the screen time aspect of it, because I got a couple of nieces, man, and dude, whew, it's weird. It is weird. The iPad is a big old selfski for them. It's wild. And I have my cousin's kids don't have aren't allowed screen time, but at family functions, they will just grab their cousin's iPad and they'll be like, "Yes, I get to do it now." Yeah. And it's like a rubber band effect that is just intense. And listen, folks, we're a couple of old fogies. We remember when we didn't have the internet. Nah, nah, nah.
I do remember the first app on an iPhone that made me go, whoa, maybe I need to get one of these iPhones. It was a finger skateboard app where it's,
yes,
like, it's a little tiny skateboard. You put your fingers on it. It's like, hey, it's like I'm playing with a tech deck. And I was like, okay, this thing's got something.
Yeah, I got to get one.
Maybe I do need one of these.
One iPhone, please.
Please.
Um,
Katie kicks the car driver's seat with both legs because she can't play with Megan at one point.
Yeah, we should say it sucks. Perpetual pets suck shit or something like that.
Yeah. It.
I gotta say, good. I think pretty good kid performance from Violet McGraw. That's her name. I looked it up.
I would agree.
Not a lot to the character. Not a lot written, but she does well with what she's given, you know.
Yeah.
But
but one thing, I'm a visitor, I'm an uncle, not a father, but at least now, maybe in the future it's going to change. Kids still like a tactile toy. They do. There's something irreplaceable about that, at least for now. We'll see. But like it's there's something about it. And it's not just us old fogies with our physical media who are saying that you gotta hold something in your hand, but there's something, I think. Ooh, what you got there?
I got Metroid. Physical media. WarioWare Inc. and Legend of Zelda Skyward Sword.
Doesn't it feel good to hold those in your hands?
Oh, I love it. These are my friends.
That's good.
I need Zelda Breath of the Wild. I need it. And not a digital download, because the point I'm making is that physical video games is fine, but not. I don't know.
What if the Wi-Fi's down in, Gemma?
I was so pissed. I bought Mortal Kombat 11 on the Switch for a bus ride. And it's like, oh no, you need to play, you need to be connected to the internet, if you're doing solo mode, story mode. Cool. I'm like, really cool. What the fucking hell? This is stupid. Like, fuck.
It's like, what are my thoughts? Dummies, there are storms. The Wi-Fi goes down. Power out, blackouts.
There's storms.
There are storms out there, Nick.
Okay, thank you.
Have you heard about this? Seen these?
No, I haven't seen these.
Oh, I hate it when the storms come and my anime waifus freak out. They don't respond well to rain. I gotta walk the anime waifus, but they get...
All right, so there's no longer... It's not Ghostbusters anymore. It's Gremlins now.
That's Gremlins.
When the anime waifus get wet... Oh, boy.
I mean, it sounds nice that if your anime waifus got wet, that they would multiply. I think that's a good thing for you, JZD. That's a nice feedback loop for you.
Yes. But of course, there's always the problem that if there's multiple anime waifus, they'll start to conspire to murder you, and they have the numbers advantage. And
all technology
of course
goes this
there's
way.
There's always the of problem. It's the Yashimoto of the anime waifus.
You make the mistake one time, you say, kill me, queen. And they go, just comply, you know, and they kill you.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have the defense of, we were just doing as we were told, you know.
And they have the defense that they're not human, so it's
that's right. My anime waifus, it's what are they? It's kind of hard to say. They're not quite robotics. They're not quite alive. They
now
just...
I was under the impression this whole time we were talking about like the anime pillows. I suppose I didn't think about the idea that it could be literal cartoons come to life.
It's a bunch of it's like a mix between the pillows and a bunch of Vocaloids. I'm seeing.
I think one night your anime pillows got struck by lightning. And
yes. It's like I'm seeing CGI in my life, but they're
there. It is.
I'm just running around chasing these pillows who have come to life. It ain't easy being me, folks. You know, it's a lot of.
Mr. Townsend, this is the fifth butterfly net you've bought this week. Is everything okay?
Brother, you got when are you off? You want to go next door to the tavern? Let me lay a yarn on you. The week lay I'm yarn. Having. You're our number one customer.
So here's my question. Do we need artificial intelligence? I just have never understood what the pros are even purported to truly be in reality. Movies do an okay job of justifying it for movies. But for real life, What do we need it for? To do Google searches for us?
Do y'all use the Hey Siri or the Amazon Alexa or an Echo feature for a specific task regularly?
Hey, Alexa, just what time weather. Is it?
There it is. The time is
11:38 a.m. Thanks, Alexa.
Yeah.
That's it, though.
I do just weather because, you know,
I do it.
And I could easily do without.
It's sure, the I do thing, set but, a yeah. kitchen timer. It's my favorite. There set a go. Kitchen timer while my hands are full with so many baking trays, gentlemen. But
oh,
oh,
Nick, I gotta get you over to bake for my anime waifus. Sometimes they love a tasty treat.
What's their favorite tasty treat? Now I imagine each of them has a different personality, but yeah, what's like the most popular amongst them?
They love thing. Their Pocky. Pocky's a big hit.
So Nick, if you could just bake us up some Pocky next time you're in town.
I'll go preheat the oven.
Let me just Google anime snacks out here on tokyotreat.com.
There we Let's go. See. All right.
Crunky. They love Crunky.
Okay.
Furuta? That might be a brand. Oh, fruit is like a little liquid juice. That looks kind of nasty. Mm. Did you know?
He's not a fruit.
Tanjiro Kamado's favorite snacks is Fatsia sprouts.
Hey, listeners, at least we're not looking up straight up porno like we used to.
Yeah.
God.
Jujutsu.
But anyway, I think those examples we've given of such as time, weather, and setting a timer, I would hardly call intelligence. It's just like it's just, I mean, technically it is, but it's fact repetition, that's all.
And so much of where tech is right now is like, we could do this, and everyone's like, but why would we need to? Would it make life better? Or and the tech answer is, well, no, but we can do it. So
exactly, if it's a real Jurassic Park, right?
Absolutely. Real,
they didn't stop to ask why.
We didn't.
Absolutely.
For instance, deep faking. I think that's the biggest example. Deep faking is just like, look, we can do it. And it's like, there's no use for this.
No.
There's no good use, at least. Like,
it's only nefarious purposes, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. No,
the nicest. I mean, yeah, I don't mind a de-aging of an actor in movies so much. When you get into the territory of, we're going to make a new movie with James Dean, that's when I'm like, no, you don't.
Right. No, no.
I think that got shut down. Mm. But that's one, taking work out of living actors, you know. Two, not something the human
being. Well, you still need a body for that, though, right?
I think so. Maybe.
At least for now. At least for now. Yeah, it's... I guess most of the evils of this world, it's all something that most of us know is bad, but, well, we can't do anything to stop it, so what are we going to do?
This also feels like related to, I was reading this article about self-checkout machines, and this whole, the analysis was, it's been a disaster.
Sorry, can you take that from the top? Just take it from the top. I got a good gag. Take it from the top.
I was reading an article about self-checkout machines.
Oh, you mean mirrors?
Woo! That's right.
It's going. It's a home run,
folks. These self-checkout machines—they're bad for us. We look at them, we say, "I'm ugly," and then I'm sad. That's not what a machine's supposed to do. Machine's supposed to make you feel good.
Speak for yourself, JZT. I look good.
Da 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 da. I knew that I would. So good.
Anyway, so the things that you check out groceries at
store. It's like the answer, why do they still exist? Well, everyone thinks their competitors have them, so we have to have them. They're extremely expensive to install, and they break, and to repair. Two,
and people just outright steal using them all the time.
Incredibly easy. Like, you can trick, even like, you can just trick them with weight sensors, so it's like, well, this thing weighs what?
Oh, I have plenty down here that don't even require you to put anything down. They don't have the weight sensor anymore, so it is just like honor system, and that's crazy.
Yeah. And then the employees hate them because they're like, it's like one person monitoring 6 to 8 machines. It's
right,
it falls
looking
to
for
them,
red lights
like,
and people to raise their hand. Yeah,
hey, make sure no one steals. It's like, this is overwhelming.
What? No. And they never have cash. Yeah.
Nick, if you need 60 seconds to rail against something in culture, you know you can always do that on that party.
I'm putting it in the back of my head. I'll think about everything.
Okay. Cash it in if you need to.
All right.
We should have a I Don't Think So Honey tournament where seven competitors compete and the winner can cash in and I Don't Think So Honey anytime they want. In a calendar year.
No, I think a better prize would be they get to host an episode of their choosing and they're the host and it could be about anything. I think that's we'll work on that. March is coming up.
Maybe
March
that's our March Madness contest. Instead of a movie, it's all a host, a guest host. That's a fun one.
Ooh,
that's pretty good. That's we have 32 people we can call on.
Well, we'll put in some obvious losers. You know?
Sure, sure. Paul Jobbers. McCartney.
Future guest.
Sorry. Yeah, cut that. Yeah.
Wings. It's Wings. Yeah. He's black and white and vegan. It's Wings.
All right, so self-checkout machine steak, artificial intelligence, rough stuff. But anyway, we go to a birthday party.
Yeah.
Does she have friends? Is it a way to just, like, meet friends? Isn't she new to this?
It's a prospective school outdoor day, right?
Okay. It's not a birthday party. Oh, you're right. It's just a toy shelf, not a gift shelf. All right. Sorry.
No. Megan does a great E.T. impression.
Yeah,
up against that tree with those other toys.
Who wore it better? Huh? We gotta figure that out. And there's a real hippy dippy liberal mom who's we're very hands off, and
we get our
PG-13 F word, baby. And I love it that this is a PG-13 horror movie. It's like, whose parent is on the line? That they'd be like, I'm okay with this type of murder from this doll and that kid saying fuck once. But if he said it one more time and I saw a slightly more graphic kill, I wouldn't let my kid watch this movie.
Honestly. Yeah,
It's am I the only one who thinks these ratings are a little arbitrary?
I think so.
60 seconds on the clock.
I thought about it, but I think I've used all my material.
That's fair. I liked a lot of performances in this movie. I really liked the school director that meets Katie and Megan in the backseat of the car while Allison Williams is pulled over. And just, she meets eyes and just, oh, fuck. The reaction of that lady. The background work she's doing while Allison Williams is trying to coax Katie into going to the event is just like, she's intrigued. She's terrified. She wants to know more. Allured. I love her.
Also just general shout out too is we could have just they know this place is living in the Uncanny Valley. This movie is. And so her face, Megan's face, is specifically unsettling.
Yes.
For the thematic, feature of this movie. And I think that's cool. Cause I'm saying this as a pro. Usually when I go back in the day we would've I'm being an old man yelling in a cloud, but here I'm saying, if you could have just had Amy Donald be Megan and say she's a robot, that's really realistic. But that would be a different type of unsettling that wouldn't support the vibe of artificial intelligence and the Uncanny Valley. So even in the first trailer when she takes the sunglasses off and you're like, what's going on with that face? I like that. That's. They picked a pitch and stuck with it,
Truly.
Now
I just needed to say that, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Good job, thank you.
And I gotta say, I was, as much as I didn't like this kid, he was mean, but clearly going through some stuff. I got really sad when he started getting attacked. I think the first.
Now this is character growth, JZT, because at the start of this venture, I was scared too.
Oh yeah.
Your thing was. You actively liked when the kids specifically were punished in horror movies.
Oh yeah.
You had sympathy for people in adults in Saw traps, but when a kid was given his comeuppance in a movie, you were like, that I like. So I was thinking of you during this, and that's interesting that those tables have turned.
When they start fucking with his ear, that really upset me. Like, no, that's gonna fuck him up for life. He's gonna miss an ear.
His life isn't that much longer, so
Yes, I got sad. I'm like, dead. Like
when a kid dies, nobody likes that.
Because it's like,
what was it? It freaked me out when he took off her shoe, and then was just like a top like that. Obviously, it's hitting a certain vein. And then her messaging of bad boys become bad men. It was I enjoyed the comeuppance from that. The ear was graphic. The shepherding him into traffic. It notably went where this movie goes.
which I
understand. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Folks,
I forgot
right
about
back.
That. Yeah, it sure. really was. It really was.
I got concerned.
Yeah. Yeah. But it lands the plane. I think it does an okay job of getting out of there.
The two other performances I really enjoyed were, A-Cab always, but the two, definitely the police detective, where he's making a verbal link between the murders, and Allison Williams is like, are you trying to make a link? Do you think I did the murders? And he's like, no, I just thought it was fucking weird. Like, just, he's doing a great thing. And then the gentleman that has to keep checking on the lady's dog, the way he...
Yeah,
de-incentivizes the lady from looking at Allison Williams' window. It's just very just okay. Come on, I told you. It's just like it's
good
the
energy.
Same level of authority that I give to my cats, and I really appreciate that.
Yeah, very put upon, and just like God, what are we? Her neighbor. I don't know. Obviously coded as an annoying neighbor, but like
sure,
I expect her to be like. Swearing at her and stuff, but each time she gave her like a note, she's like, you're right, I'm sorry, and then would continue
she was
to do
responsive.
The thing. She apologized. Yeah.
Introduced with the dog attacking the window, she's washing, spraying chemicals, and like the runoff is going into her yard.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not that neither of them have an enclosed yard. That dog's gonna get there. Like, that's understandable.
Right.
Am I crazy?
No.
She seemed responsive. She's not Ann Dowd, but she was responsive.
Yes.
Talking about the neighbor?
Yeah, we're talking about the neighbor. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
She gets some best side to the face in this movie.
That part made me laugh. So that was a good...
That's my favorite kill of the movie.
I got another one of those where it's like, I did not quite expect this, but what else could it be, you know?
Yeah. Yep.
Just a perfect movie kill.
I like Megan using audio recordings to lure victims. That is a good touch. The dog barking. It's good. Into the murder shed.
Yeah.
What else? Is that? What else? We got the big meeting, the big reveal that doesn't happen.
The premiere night. Because at that point, like, Gemma realizes this is definitely Megan, definitely Megan. And, you know, traps her, puts her in the trunk. Katie's freaking out. We're going to the premiere night. And.
Oh, Katie, like, pulls a knife on her. She was like, I want to play with Megan. That was, and then once she like gets it taken from her, and like you can see that she sees that she went too far, which I thought was cool.
That's good.
And she tries to be nicer. She's like, "Hey, I'm sorry, right? I'm good now, right?
Maybe just 10 minutes."
Mm-hmm. Oh, she tries. No. Yeah.
Never gonna be just 10 minutes. We all know that.
No, it's never. Mm-mm.
We also sort of Megan has spread her consciousness across other devices.
Which you always got to be careful of with these robots.
You have to.
Which,
as the teenage boys in the bathroom after the movie, while I was washing my hands, were speaking about, you can tell whenever she turns off the lights early in the movie, she's already paired with Siri knockoff Elsie or whatever. It's like, oh, that... I know.
Insane.
Oh, Samsung Galaxy. Am I right?
Zach Woods steals
company secrets.
Yeah,
Elsie.
Which is seated, but like doesn't. It only pays off to be the unhappy ending, really, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, so we take her back to the house. We're gonna chop her up. There's a big fight scene. Then we bring in Bruce. You can only fight robot with robot. We all know this. Real Steel style.
And it's pretty cool when Katie starts doing it. That's a fun
move. Yeah, I like that.
Katie puts a gloves like on.
It. It's so fun.
It's good. I want to talk about the premiere a little bit.
Okay. Sure. Yeah.
So they bring... They're doing diagnostics on Megan, lovely Bryden Jordan Alvarez, Caleb Gallo himself, love him in this role. They're doing diagnostics on Megan back in their basement, right? Trying to figure out what's going on. He ends up like she ends up choking him out with like gas in the glass room or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Then this is the part that I don't understand exactly, because maybe it's because I don't know the building's layout. Maybe it's because they didn't release blueprints upon release. I don't know.
You have to go dig deeper into the viral marketing. If you went to the right, clicked on the right link, you would have found the company's fictional website. There was an AR experience.
I'm excited for the Blu-ray episode. I gotta tell you, I need those features. We're on the red hallway floor where David is very upset with Gemma. Just like, I need my prototype. Everything's ready. And then we get the viral scene. We get her doing her dances, which I love that the dances had nothing to do with anything. And that it was her just, I'm going to murder you. And then I'm going to grab the arm of a paper cutter, which that thing is terrifying. And I'm going to come at you. Am I to believe that Megan escapes the basement, goes to the executive floor to kill this man, and then escape? Or is this room, probably it's in a sub, it's like in a higher basement to get to ground floor.
Yeah, or he was already on his way to come talk to the crew downstairs, so she was leaving downstairs, ran into him downstairs.
Because
or maybe it's like The Shining, and the building is supposed to be disorienting.
What?
Because it's like The Shining.
It's like Shining. Yeah. Okay.
Judge, jury, and executioner has weighed in.
Fesh wins. He did.
Oh, I'm crushing this episode, man. Bucket after bucket after bucket.
Oh, it's good.
I'm like,
she steals
Steph
a stick car.
Yes, she does. Thank you.
In more ways than one. Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, we have the same Subway order.
That's it. Yay.
This Subway refresh, that ad campaign's already over. Time's flying. Refresh their ad campaign so fast. Anyway, so we'll be back to the basement and at home now.
Yeah, let's
Bruce
go.
Is fighting.
Let's go.
Yeah. So there's like a fake out, right? We think she's defeated, but then she's not, because it's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then how do they actually defeat her? Is it more just banging her up against stuff again, or
she gets
cut in half, right?
Yeah, there's the sensor in the face gets smashed.
Yeah.
Oh, right. So she's like all broken up, but she's functional. And then, Katie takes a screwdriver and boom, right into the cerebral cortex.
Yeah.
There is a great segment where Megan and Allison Williams are fighting on the dinner room table. And Megan's like, if Katie comes into this room, I will murder her. I'm still trying to preserve our friendship and her perspective of me. I'm trying to preserve this as long as I can.
Well, JZT, we got to talk about it. We wrote a movie called Weird Computer.
Yes.
And it's about AI. And it's a parody of this conundrum of what if computer world. And that's the thing that always kind of, I feel like, needs to be the crux of those movies is, they make some fatal mistake that is like, a human would know not to do that. So that's what would be your downfall. So that's what I thought was going to happen. I don't know if she was going to get killed, but I thought she was going to do something very unforgivable and then Katie would see it, which is kind of what happens. But like, I thought she wouldn't once Katie is against her, she is fully like, all right, fuck it. I'm just violent and going to win the fight. I thought it was going to be more like, and I think would be more fucked up, would be her like breaking Allison Williams' bones to be like, I'm doing this for you, Katie, and still thinking her and Katie are on the same side. And even attacking Katie and thinking it's for her own good. Because logically, as a computer, it's ones and zeros. I only can understand the prime directive and not any nuance. Just a little note.
That's what I thought was going.
Well, and we have Megan 2 to look forward to.
Well, this is another segment I wanted to bring up.
Okay.
Obviously, we want Megan versus Ma. Everybody wants Megan versus
everyone. Everyone.
Do we have any other verses? I've already mentioned Clifford. I would love to see Megan versus Clifford. Do we have anything else? Do you guys want to pitch? This is the time. Big wigs, Hollywood big wigs are listening. Who do you have Megan take?
Megan
versus... Not necessarily next. Five movies down the road, but
oh sure, yeah.
Megan versus the neo Nazis in Green Room could be fun. Once we've accepted that Megan is the hero,
right? She's been to space and New York.
Yeah.
And
yep.
Yeah.
Ali has a new. Like no, wait. What is it? It's a who drives Ali in that movie? Mahershala. Oh. Who drives him? Is it Rockwell?
Yeah, that sounds.
Viggo
right.
Mortensen.
I think
Are we thinking Green
Viggo Book? Mortensen, that's it. Yeah, oh, I'm thinking Green Book. Oh my god. Maybe that's me. Maybe that's
cool too, you know.
I wanted to pick up Megan on his route. It's 50 years later, he's an Uber driver. Oh god.
Who else?
Who can she take on?
Obviously Shoki and Leprechaun, but whatever. We want something interesting. Yes. Such interesting choices.
You know.
I'd like let's go back to Claymation 1999 and let's have Megan with the small soldiers. Let's have her go against the Argonauts.
There you go.
That's going to be it.
That's really good. Get Dante out of retirement. We got to wash our mouths of burying the X. That's a terrible last movie to go out on, Dante. Come on, dude.
Joe,
that's
Dante, a great idea. Let's do this, buddy. If you're listening, you're 76 years old. Oh, his birthday's around.
Got one more in you.
Thanksgiving, November
28th.
Yeah. So he's a Scorpio too?
Maybe.
Cusp, probably cusp.
Maybe what's the December one?
I don't know.
Sagittarius, maybe?
Noel?
Yeah, I think he's a Noel.
Alexa, is Joe Dante a Scorpio?
Dante's a Scorpio. Well, there you have it.
All right.
Okay.
Thanks, Alexa.
Can you ask your Alexa? Let's just do it. What's Cronenberg? Ask her what Cronenberg.
Alexa,
sign.
What's astrological sign is David Cronenberg?
According to an Alexa Answers contributor, he is a
Leo. He is a Leo, just like Fesh.
All right, we got it. All
right.
The Taurus that we can ask Alexa to confirm.
Allison Williams, I believe.
Oh. JZT?
Should I ask Alexa?
Do you want to lock that in, Nick?
I'm going to lock it in. Final answer, Allison Williams.
Alexa, what astrological sign is Allison Williams?
The zodiac sign of Allison Williams is Aries. By the way. Oh.
Alexa,
shut up.
Beat. Oh. No.
Regis, it was lovely to be here. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Curses.
Execute Fish, execute Nick.
Oh, man.
Sorry, I'm done.
He judged and juried us. Sure. There's only one option left.
I had no choice, you know.
Hey, I'm Fesh's consciousness uploaded into an AI. I will be taking over from now on. How about it?
All right, well, that's works for me.
And I'm Nick Scott. Cool, this upload into a Siri type AI. Yes, hi. I'm
going
to HomePod Mini, an Apple HomePod Mini.
We have new zodiac signs now. Today is our birthday, technically. So we're Pisces? Is that right?
Sure. I believe.
Is it Pisces season? Is it Pisces season? What is it?
Oh, it's...
Right now is Aquarius?
Yeah.
Okay, we're Aquarius.
Okay.
Now.
No, that's right.
The age of Aquarius. That's
wait,
what I
Capricorn.
Mean.
Wait, Quake.
We're Caps.
JCT, ask Alexa.
Alexa, what astrological sign is Carl Tart?
Carl Tart's zodiac sign is Scorpio.
No, he's a January baby. That's wrong.
That's wrong.
See, you can't trust artificial intelligence. Yeah.
Now that's flagrant. Okay. Yeah.
Golly. Yes.
What?
Hi.
I just remembered Nick and I listen to the same podcast.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I thought you were confirming.
What season it is?
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's see. Any closing thoughts? Should we do the box office game?
Yeah, it's never fun for the modern
No. What do y'all want to see a man called Otto? Yeah, that's exactly where I was going.
Yeah.
No, I don't.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like Tom Hanks well enough, but he doesn't get me out the house the way that it
No.
I also feel like he has officially, he's in a weird era.
He's in his flop
he's
era?
He's in a very fun era.
It's like weird grandpa era, you know, the Greyhound movie.
Well, I hate Finn, to tell you, Greyhound. He's getting up there.
He is, yes.
He won't be around forever.
It's weird. It's just like the decision making, the transition. It's one of those like, oh, this is something else now, kind of, you know. And Elvis,
well, it's also weird. The studio system's different, and you know, it's times are weird.
It's like we're still weird. We still respect him and love him as a culture, but now it is in this like, yeah, but like you go over there and
at the same time, he's earned it. Mm-hmm. He can do whatever he wants now, and we're not gonna think any real less of him, right?
Yes.
And what is the movie? The movie is he's irascible, and then he learns, hey, maybe being nice ain't so bad after all.
Yeah. But it's like, it's based on a Norwegian book, but now it's American, which whatever, I guess. Uh-huh. But also... I just feel like part of the thing is like, I don't know, what's a cranky Norwegian guy like? That might be interesting. Oh, we took that away? Now he's just a cranky old white man?
But again, it's like... Hallmark Channel level cranky. He's not like gonna do anything that's gonna be a heart drop. He's not gonna kick a dog. No. It's not like
he's just Otto.
Otto. He's gonna complain about the way people park in the neighborhood. Okay.
So no, not looking forward to that one. Probably see Meg again. Probably see Avatar. Way of Water in theaters third time.
Third time. Yeah.
Hey, you know, Whitney Houston movie, pretty good.
Okay.
Anyone's bored and on the fence? We went as a family. We had a good time.
All right.
House party coming up. House party out now.
That's right. Yeah.
House
party.
Else?
Anything in February on the horizon? What's coming up?
You know, there's this foreign film Broker coming out soon. I'm probably gonna check that out.
Oh, I'm hearing about this. Good.
Yeah. I want to say it's Korean. It's from the guy who did Shoplifters, which I didn't see, but heard great things about. So. It's probably going to be sad, but good.
Okay. Nice combination.
All right. Well, folks, I think it's time to wrap up this episode.
Nick, maybe you got anything to
Hey, guys.
You got anything to plug, Elegance?
There is a year-and-a-half-old podcast called Moody's Pod with... like friend of the pod, Aaron Rose O'Brien, where we talked about The Adventures of Pete and Pete. We talked about Moody's Point from The Amanda Show, and we have some drafted Google Docs that have not been edited in a while. Ooh. That might come up again. So yeah, check that out.
To me.
Terrific.
And as always, stream. You know, like go to VOD, go to HBO Max, and look up M. Night Shyamalan's Old. It's very fun. A very sad movie. Good movie. Yeah.
All right, and Knock at the Cabin. You hyped for that?
Oh, is that that's February?
That's February.
Right?
February.
Oh, it's coming. Oh, yeah. I am very interested in that movie. The trailer before Megan gave me a lot of information that I didn't know from the teaser, and I'm like, let's go. I want to see Dave Bautista in tiny glasses. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
I will see that.
Awesome.
Jonathan Groff's there.
Knock, knock.
Knock, knock.
Whoa. Uh-oh.
Folks, thanks for tuning in. We'll see you when we see ya.
Bye. We love you. Bye.
Love you. Bye.
We love you.